It's been very eventful this evening as we've been taking calls, all sorts of different perspectives on the security issues of the last 48 hours and all the weirdness, all the funky weirdness that comes out when we are fearful and what to do with it, how to sort it out, and how we can feel so manipulated by it, and just trying to see whether there are lines of logic even amongst all of these new dicta. Well, we'll leave it there for now and just say, we've said everything we can probably say on that this evening and just turn the last hour over to anything but that on open lines and or any other call like JC. That was fun. Wherever you're going to take us, do it next. Grab a line and join in on Coast to Coast AM. In for George, this is Ian Punnett. All right, got a bunch to run through. Look forward to it. We'll make the most of our last hour on open lines here in just a second. A reminder that tomorrow night, the early show, Coast to Coast Live on Saturday nights, you can hear it on Streamlink. You can catch it on your local station if they carry it. If not, call your local program director or email and just let them know that you're interested in the show. Some more Coast to Coast in your life is not bad. We got about 200 radio stations around the country that carry Coast to Coast Live, and they're going to hear an interview with Simon. This is what JC was referring to last hour, the Necronomicon, the Book of the Dead, the Book of the Law of the Dead, too, perhaps even. What this book is all about has been much disputed, but Simon is coming back on decades after having published his Necronomicon in the 1970s to defend its authenticity. He says it was not of his own creation. He says he can prove that this is not the same book that H.P. Lovecraft wrote about, that in fact H.P. Lovecraft was writing about a real book. He may not even have known it, but the Necronomicon exists. Simon has the dark history of the Necronomicon on tomorrow night. First wildcard line, Marion is on Coast to Coast AM in for George. This is Ian Punnett. Marion, where are you going to take us in this last hour?
Actually, it's Marlin, but that's
you
not
know
a
what?
Problem.
It is Marlin, and it even says Marlin right here, and I just was, I turned off the lights, and it looked like Marion in the dark, so sorry about that.
Well, that's
Marlin.
A common thing. But anyway, I'm a truck driver. I'm sitting in my truck in Nebraska, and, you know, I wish I had something more lighthearted to talk about, but earlier today, when I passed through the Gary, Indiana area, there was talk of snipers. Someone was shooting at trucks again today. Not the 17-year-old, of course, that they caught some weeks ago, but someone else has decided to take a couple shots. And it just, you know, moves into this whole feeling of crisis that we seem to be living in, the darkness that surrounds us. You know, listening Coast to Coast every night can be quite fun and entertaining, but, you know, the world ends every other night. You know, there's something coming to get us and to destroy us and to hurt us. And between the real and the imagined, we seem to have this theme going where, you know, there's no hope. You look out into the future and you wonder if there's going to be a future, you know, because violence seems to be the answer.
Well, you know what? I mean, I think you bring up really good points, and it's important to stress that for a lot of people, violence and or a kind of personal Armageddon is not something theoretical to be discussed over a cup of coffee on the radio, but something which they're dealing with in their own life. Bullet holes in your windshield has a way of making any other discussion about violence seem kind of superfluous. So I get that. I mean, I think the good news is in a lot of ways we are a less violent society than we used to be. And I know that may not seem right because whenever we have it around our lives, we think, well, gosh, it couldn't be worse than it is now. But if you go back in even in the last 60, 80 years, we were a much more violent society than we are now.
Oh, well, all I can go is I'll be 45 coming this year. And in my time, I haven't seen that to be true. I'm sure it's probably historically true. But yeah.
You know, even in our lifetimes, though, I mean, you look how violent New York City used to be. It used to be, you know, the murder capital of the world. It's not now. I mean, there's a lot of murderopolises out there, no doubt, where cities that spike up with some murders. But I mean, there's gang violence and there's horrible things that happen. And I don't mean to take away from anybody's own personal experience, but you look at what used to be. I was looking at the thing on the History Channel today talking about what labor violence used to be like and the ongoing fights that used to just go on every day at factories while they were trying to organize unions. And these things, you know, I mean, there was a time when violence was much more acceptable and much easier to get away with. Look at the violence that used to be allowed to be perpetrated on people of any kind of class or color, right? We just don't allow that anymore. And so as a result, I think we're a less violent society.
Which it definitely doesn't feel that way. And, you know, I look at the victims of Katrina. I look at the people in the war-ravaged areas who were just innocent bystanders. And you kind of get this sense that you really can't trust the structure of civilization to protect you, and what can you do for yourself? I mean, there's this urge to arm yourself and to make plans, right, and, you know, to be that survivalist kind of person where I never yep. thought that before. And of course, that changes your whole perspective on life. Instead of being, you know, hopeful for the future and for my children and what their futures are going to be, you know, I'm find myself wishing I had my own, you know, golden bullet or nuke so that I could let people sure. know you ought not mess with me, you know.
I understand that, and I think actually that's a normal response. Now, the question is, what do we hold in tension with that? When we sit into the dark shadows of our imagination and we think, you know, how can we protect ourselves against the boogeymen and women that are roaming around out there in the world? I think that's a totally normal and practical kind of thought when we respond to fear like that. But what do we hold in tension with that? And I think we have to some degree, we have to always feel good about trying to come up with a real answer. Are we less safe? Are we really more at risk today than we were, say, 20 years ago? And I don't, we look at like the discussion about children, you know, all the talk about kids being kidnapped and tortured and all the horrible things. But it comes right down to it is kids have never been safer than they are right now. There are fewer abductions. There's more awareness. There's all of these Amber Alerts. These are the good things. These are the responses we put in. And gosh darn it, we track down a lot of those kids. We find them. It used to be that there never would have been a network that would have traced them. Now we've got one. And so, I mean, I think that we can say that we could say it feels like kids have never been more at risk, but in a way, we've never had as many responses to that risk than we have right now. And I think that's a good thing.
You mentioned earlier about perception, you know, that the safety is a perception issue. But, you know, that goes in both ways. You know, whether we are safer or not safer cannot actually be quantified. Truly, the experience of how you feel about it is more potent to one individual's life than the actual truth becomes, since the truth is not knowable. Don't you agree with that?
Well, I think we could extrapolate that out. Sure, you could say ultimately nothing's knowable, so how can we fully apprise our own condition? Maybe. But I think that we just have to be clear to always wipe off our lens, you know, and we have to be good about not letting a lot of grime build up there. And that may sound like kind of Pollyannish thinking, but I mean, it comes right down to it is I still think you're safer driving a truck in America today than you would have been 50 years ago. There's probably fewer accidents. There's better brakes. There's more safety measures for trucks on highways than there used to be. I mean, I'm just going to guess and say there's probably fewer truck drivers who are killed today than there were even 60 years ago. But I could be wrong on that. So I mean, I'm certainly open to correction. But it's interesting you should call when you said Marlon. My first thought was Marlon Jackson, right, of the Jackson 5.
And I like Marlon Brando, actually.
Yeah, but when I hear about Marlon and I think about, and then you mentioned Gary, Indiana, I thought, oh, that was weird because that's just where the Jackson 5 came from. So interesting title. Well, I appreciate you getting us started for this hour, and I don't know if that helps or hurts, but I'm glad you had a chance to get that off your chest. Let's go to Alan, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast Live. Alan, where are you going to take us?
Hey, Ian, thanks for taking my call. I'm calling from Calgary. It's Alan.
You're a tasty.
I love your positive attitude to that last caller. That's beautiful. That's exactly what I'm about to say.
All right, go ahead.
You know what? all this stuff in the Middle East and the fear factor in the America there, the powers that be that are orchestrating all this stuff, right, they have the financial might to do what they want to do to make more money and what have you. But the one thing that we all have is our power of thought. Now, if people get worried like your last caller did, where they start thinking about maybe I need my own gun or personal nuke, that's negative thought, right? That goes out in the universe. What people need to do to fight back against this whole thing in the world and make it better is they got to get up. When they get up to leave before work, they got to thank the great creator of all things, and that's the earth, the universes, the galaxies, everything, us and their ancestors of all time. That's past, present, and future. Okay, they got to let them know that they love themselves and that they love everybody else. And that means everybody. That means the dark side of this situation. That means the light side, because there's innocent victims on both sides. There's people on the dark side in the Middle East that have been brainwashed since kids. They don't know nothing else, and they're getting killed. There's people that are just civilians that are getting caught in the crossfire on the light side. Now, the way to get this fixed up, which nobody can control this over us like they can a lot of other things, like you were saying earlier with the laws and rules and whether it works through perception, this perception works. If you send out into the universe the love of yourself and the love for those others, and that you need help from the Creator and your ancestors to create healing within these people, it'll heal them, and in turn, it'll also start healing the earth. Because the violence that we're projecting with this negative fear thing that we've got going on and causing these events, it's causing the weather to get stronger. Like, you guys are getting pummeled down south there with these hurricanes and stuff, and that's negative energy building.
But not this year, and that's,
It will come. Like, it just,
well, see, but now that sounds like more negative thinking there, that it will come. Maybe won't. Maybe
no, but if we keep letting this negative stuff keep brewing, it'll just get worse. The only way we can turn it around is by thinking positive, by loving one another and sending that out, you know, to the people all over the world, and that they heal up over the wounds that they're feeling from the past. Like, I understand.
Okay, wait.
I know. Been killed,
I get that. Okay, that's very good, and I appreciate that, Alan. And there's a lot there to digest, and I hope that people do that. And I'm glad that Alan overwhelms us with that kind of positive stuff. So I think that's good. Or you can also remember, to between, you know, Marlon and Alan, there is that balance. There is that tension between those two things. What do they say in Islam? You know, trust Allah, but lock up your horses. West of the Rockies, let's get Brent on Coast to Coast AM. Brent?
Ian, what's going on, man?
Where are you going to take us?
I'm in Houston.
Where am I, more of a metaphoric kind of thing.
I know you understand the Bible and everything.
Yes, sir.
So my question was for you. Like, you know, when you talk about Genesis and you listen to it, you listen to Genesis, you read it. Why does it start out with, it talks about man and a woman, and then it goes on and talks about, like, people out there?
Right. It's a great question.
I'm really confused about it, so that's why I was asking.
It's a totally legitimate question. The idea of creation could be looked at as just this is the story of the spiritual creation. Some people say it's the story of the chosen people, that there were other people that were on the planet, but they weren't chosen people. They weren't special. Some people would say those are the people that were descended from apes, but not the ones that were created by God. Some would say that God created them and they have a separate story. And so they don't share in the same story. We don't know their story anymore. Maybe they have a different type of creation created for a different purpose. And maybe you can just look at it and say, while we have the record of what was happening in the Garden of Eden and what that story was trying to tell us, is that there was also the God is also at work in the universe in ways which we don't know, which might also explain why there's life on other planets. And that just like there were other people other than Adam and Eve, that we can look at that creation story and say that's why there is life on, and then fill in the blank. I hope that helps. Let's go to first time caller line where Dean is hanging on. Coast to Coast AM. Dean, what's that? Not Wade. Now it's Wade on the first time caller line. Wade, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Wade calling from Alberta, Canada.
Glad to have more tasties.
Yeah, well, I was just going to talk to you about how badly I think you guys are getting shafted for your oil prices by the oil companies down there.
Yeah? Okay, thanks for that bulletin.
Well, I mean, we're paying close to the same prices you guys do up there when you work out the exchange rate and everything else.
Right.
Half of our price, it goes to our government.
Right. Well, a lot of our price does. A lot of our price goes to taxes.
Half our cost up here is government taxes.
Right. We get a lot of taxes on this, though, too.
The oil companies down there are making a lot more money than they do up here.
Well, that's probably true, too. Yeah, and a lot of that, I'm sure, has to do with volume. There's just, you know, there's more people, and so more profits. But your point is taken. I mean, I don't know how the subsidy system works either, or what, you know, the arrangements are with the Canadians, or for that matter, whether Canadians are siphoning off from the Alaskan pipeline. Now, could that be it?
We don't have to. We got more oil in Alberta than they do in Saudi Arabia.
That's what I hear. So good luck to you all. Well, thanks for rubbing that in. Let me go to the wild card line where Ryan is on Coast to Coast AM. Ryan?
Yeah?
Where are you going to take us?
What, do you believe in treasure?
In treasure?
Yeah, like gold and pirate treasure and that stuff.
Who could not believe in treasure?
When I grow up, I don't become treasure hunter.
That's treasure hunter's a good thing.
Yeah, I want to look for pirate treasure.
Alrighty. Thank you. You're going to wear a hat?
Yeah.
You
have
like a little
Johnny. Going to be like
hat.
Johnny Depp.
You got a little pirate hat? You going to wear a patch?
Yeah.
Okay, then. What kind of patch? Like the cigarette, like non-smoking patch, or like one over your eye?
One over your eye.
Okay, just checking. All right, good luck to you on that. And let's go to the wild card line, where Chris is hanging on Coast to Coast AM. Chris?
Hey, how you doing, Ian?
Good. Where are you going to take us?
I just calling. You know, my wife and I have been listening to you for about 8 years now. Coast to Coast. Actually, when you come on, we enjoy your show. I just
Thank you.
Let you know that. You know, it's kind of funny. I'm following up the guy who was talking about the oil, the pipeline.
Right.
He was kind of getting into that. I'm in Alaska now. I've been here for a couple months. I'm actually active duty military here in Alaska. I'm a United States Marine stationed here.
Thank you for serving your country.
Oh, well, thank you.
Semper Fi.
Yeah, thank you. It's just kind of funny, you know, the state of Alaska is, as far as their, you know, I've never seen a legislature or, you know, the state senate in Alaska, who's, I think, is pretty much selfish as far as getting this this pipeline deal passed for oil that's going to go, you know, to the lower 48 and supplement the country for some of the oil that they're getting, and they're taking so long to get it. I'm just surprised the federal government hasn't stepped in on it already.
What would you expect? Can we send in the Marines? Can we do that?
No, I don't think that's necessary.
I'd like to.
Yeah, you know, I was just touching on that subject, basically, since he was talking about it. But my main reason for calling was something in the last hour, but, you know, your screener said we were trying to lighten it up a little bit, so.
Well, I mean, I don't think we can, we said a lot about security, and I just didn't want to go back over all the same territory. Do you have a quick point you want to make as a Marine? Go ahead.
No, well, I don't know. He kind of put me on the spot there, but, you know, as a Marine, you know, I think we're doing a good job, and, you know, we're going to keep up the good work. You know, I kind of think of things in black and white, and, you know, we're doing a good job. That's pretty much what I have to say.
Well, I think you're doing a fine job, and I appreciate you jumping in and being a part of the conversation, and stay warm, and most importantly, stay safe. So a half hour left of open lines. This night has just flown for me, but that's because so many people have said so many interesting things. Will you be amongst them? We'll find out. We'll give you the number so you can join the conversation next on Coast to Coast AM. In for George Norrie, this is Ian Punnett. And I think I actually slipped earlier in the hour and said Coast to Coast Live, and I was picking up a call. But that's a reminder that tomorrow night on Coast to Coast Live, along many of these stations, the Necronomicon will be on. This is the famed Book of the Dead from the writing of H.P. Lovecraft, which Lovecraft always claimed was purely fictional. He maintained he invented the name. He invented the whole usage of it. It was just a fictional device for him. But others have said, nope, there is a Necronomicon, and it's existed all along. And one of the proponents of that is Simon, a guy who published a version of the Necronomicon in the 1970s. Yeah, he acknowledges there are similarities to Lovecraft's Necronomicon, but that's where he would break from the belief that this is purely fiction. He says it's true. There is a Book of the Dead. It is Sumerian in origin. It explains many of the world's greatest mysteries. And his new book is tracing the dark history of the Necronomicon, the way in which the Necronomicon is weaved through the lives of people like the Son of Sam killers, and he stresses killers, plural. And more on that coming up tomorrow on the early show, what we call Coast to Coast Live, in the evening on Saturday. Hope you can catch it. If not, catch it on Streamlink. More of your calls. We'll go across the country and wrap up open lines next with a whole boat on Coast to Coast AM. In for George, this is Ian Punnett. We got a lot to get to, so let us have some fun and go right away to the wild card line where Don is hanging on, Coast to Coast AM. Don, where are you going to take us in the time we have for open lines?
Okay, good morning, Ian. Thank you for sharing your airtime with me.
Oh, you're very kind.
Yeah, this is Don in Fort Worth. No, like I told your call taker, I have a little bit different theory about what we call global warming, and I have about three, maybe four bits of data to support it.
Okay, what's your theory?
It's not necessarily global warming, it's solar warming. For example, about 2 years ago was the ordinary low cycle for the sun, sunspots, but it had a lot of sunspots and solar flares. And there were times one of these solar flares go by the Earth, our magnetosphere shields us from it, but it does heat up the atmosphere. I read it.
What do you do with the images from space, though, that show the openings in, you know, the Earth's ozone layer?
Okay. I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not.
Okay.
But I do know that about 3 years ago, I was reading an article in Astronomy Magazine where the weather on Saturn and Neptune was acting up. And a couple of years ago, I think it was George was talking about there's two, there used to be one big red storm on Jupiter, and then there were two joining, and so Jupiter's atmosphere is acting up, and if I remember correctly, Saturn and Neptune were warming as well as Earth. So I'm saying it's my theory that we have solar warming, and that the sun has an 11-year sunspot cycle, and it has another cycle that's maybe decades long, and another cycle that's centuries long, and if one or more of those cycles, if two or more of those cycles line up together, I'm thinking it's my theory that we have solar warming, the entire solar system's warming up.
Hush, all right, puppy. Very good. Certainly your dog agrees. It looks like your dog chimes in on that, so I'll accept your dog's second on your motion. And thank you, Don. Let's go to Will on the wildcard line on Coast to Coast AM. Will?
Hello, Ian. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Where are you going to take us?
Good. Well, my name is, I'm from Aurora, Illinois. And
I know it well.
You know, there's a lot of people today that are worried about so many different things, and we have so many different things happening in this world that are bad, that are ugly. But, you know, there's really nothing to worry about.
Okay, why?
Well, it's very, very simple. If you put your faith and trust in God, it really doesn't matter.
Okay. I think you will. It's certainly not a hard sell for me on that, but there would be still a practical side to say faith, and then what do we do when we're confronted with evil? You still have to do something. Let's go east of the Rockies. Matt is hanging on, Coast to Coast AM. Matt, where are you going to take us?
Oh, you know, this down the road we always go. How you doing today?
Doing all right.
I'm not too far from you. I'm down here in Sioux Falls.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Hey, I was wondering, the guys who talked earlier that were saying that, you know, it seems like you know, they feel dread and they feel like, you know, the bad things are happening now compared to what it was years ago.
Right.
I kind of thought that maybe it was because we were a little more ignorant in the back then, that, you know, the flow of information that we have now today is so quick that you're aware of things that happen that are bad. And maybe less are happening, but back then they just didn't know that this stuff was happening. I mean, we know when a child of a certain age or so is abducted.
Yeah, you're right about that. It's what they call the news cycle, and the news cycle is faster. And yet, I mean, the news gets to us faster, but it tends to last longer. So when you hear about a child being abducted in Phoenix, you're going to follow that story for 5 or 6 days. No matter where you are, you're going to be hearing about it, and it gives you the impression of a greater sense of lack of safety.
You know, I also, every time you say that Necronomicon, when you're talking about that, I keep thinking of that movie, Army of Darkness.
Right.
I kick out of that every time I hear it. But
right. Not to mention all of the Metallica songs and all the other, yeah. I mean, all the heavy metal songs that have been written about the Necronomicon.
I also would like to say to just a message to all the armed forces, if anyone's listening, that I appreciate everything they do and all the sacrifices they make and the things they have to do with their families in order to, you know, do the right goals for the country and serve their country. And I just want to say God bless them and God bless America.
Thank you, Matt. I know there's a few wives and husbands of servicemen who are probably unable to sleep tonight, up listening to this show, worried about somebody they love. And I hope that they feel that same message and that same warmth from all over the country. Let's go west of the Rockies, where Bill is on Coast to Coast AM. Bill, where are you going to take us? Oh, first, we'll skip past Bill for whatever reason and go to Dan on the first-time caller line. Dan? Dan once? Dan twice? Dan? Dan sold to the wildcard line, where Ron is waiting on Coast to Coast AM. Ron, are you there?
How you doing, Ian?
All right, good.
Calling from Connecticut. My name is Ron, and I want, it's the first time I called you, Ian. I have to say, I hate to admit it, but when you used to come on, I used to shut my radio off, but I started listening, and you're starting to grow on me. Now I want to hear more of you, I guess.
I'm like scabies, I guess.
No, I don't think it was that. I'd say, I won't say a beauty mark, but let's just say something enjoyable, whatever it would be.
All right. Well, where are you going to take us?
Well, first of all, just wanted to thank the Coast listeners, because I had called in, talked to Art about praying for my wife, Terry, who has cancer and seems to be helping. And I wanted to continue that this brain tumor will go into complete remission. So that's happy for us. And I want to thank everybody.
The reality of that you're going through. So, yes, and by all means, then keep Ron and is it Nancy, did you say?
Terry
in your prayers. Thank you.
But what I'd like to say is, I hear about stories about star children and everything.
Right.
And I would swear that not only my wife is a star person, but I've got children that are star children. And let me give you some examples. My wife.
Well, how do you define that, by the way? Are you defining that by having alien blood, do you believe?
No, I think it comes from a higher being or something.
Okay, because there's lots of different ways of looking at that.
No, I would say from a higher being. My wife is so intelligent that I swear, you know, when they would have those IQ tests in a Reader's Digest or Ladies' Home Journal or something.
Right.
And if you answer the things and it takes you 20 minutes and you got all but one or two wrong, then, you know, maybe you should call Mensa or something like that.
Right.
I would swear she would look at that thing, and in 5 minutes she'd have it done. And I would look at what she did, and I wouldn't even bother because I'd be embarrassed, you know.
Well, and I think that's very special, and I'd love to think that that's true for your wife. But what about just she has a really high IQ? I mean, why not just say that? She's just brilliant.
Well, they say star children are sort of like special in terms of, I swear she doesn't have a hateful bone in her body. And the thing is, I have to go to my kids as well. Okay, for example, my oldest son, he was the kind of kid when he was like 4 years old, he'd be staring out the window and kind of looking up the sky, and he'd say something to the effect that we would say to him, Joey, what are you doing? And he would just say, thinking, you know. And this kid, 4 years old, sounded like an adult, thinking, well, what are you thinking about? Well, I believe that the dinosaurs disappeared because the Earth was struck by a meteorite about 65,000 years ago. This is coming out of the mouth of a 4-year-old.
So how did you end up being the father of these kids?
I think I'm just a sperm donor. I don't know where I come out of the way.
Well, you could be a star kid too then, and just you're just a humbler version of it.
My other son, I mean, the kid when he was in first grade, I take my kids out for a walk, so I kind of separate, because we have four of them, I try to separate them out and just kind of see what they, you know, just talking, you know, dad's special time.
Right.
And this kid, I'd say to him, if you have a pie and you cut it in half, what do you have? He says, I got a half. Okay, so how much is that? That's 50%. Well, I'd get this guy up, and he'd talk about tenths and 30%, and he's in first grade. I mean, I couldn't get back to tell my wife how intelligent I thought this kid was, and it was just amazing.
See, now, I'll weigh that against my kids, because if I ask my kids, if you had a pie and you cut it in half and you gave half to me, what would you have? My kids would say, a raw deal.
Probably the smaller piece. You get the bigger one.
That's what they would claim. Well, thank you, Ron. I appreciate that. And I will be thinking about Terry as I say my prayers tonight. And I'm glad you jumped in. And who knows where that'll go. I know we'll have more conversations about star children in the future. International line. And Derek is hanging on Coast to Coast AM. Derek?
How you doing, Ian?
Good. Where are you going to take us?
Alaska, pipelines, and how about negligence?
Okay, go ahead.
Well, here in Canada, now I'm not trying to get nasty or anything, but we got really, really nasty, tight regulations on pipelines. So if
right.
your wall thickness gets a little too thin, pipeline company goes out and orders a whole bunch of pipe, and they go and weld it up and get it all tested and ready, and it's a 1 or 2 day interruption, and bang, the flow's back on. Meanwhile, BP, since you know, they seem to think they have the oil, it's theirs. No, actually, it belongs to the people of Alaska.
Right.
And so the point I'm getting at is that, you know, BP let this slide. They don't care because the price of oil goes up. They're worldwide. They're number two in the world. So guess what? They just made a pile of money, and they're laughing all the way to the bank. And any kind of fines from the regulators will be butt kiss.
Yep. So?
And so they just precipitated their own profit. I mean, look at Shell. Shell pays $2.50 a barrel to produce oil in Nigeria.
Yeah,
$77 when it hits American shores.
Yep.
But I got to say one thing, you know, before we go on any of that, is that, you know, as much as I appreciate soldiers and their families, I think actually what really is required here is a prayer for them all.
Okay, well, we'll do that. And thank you for that thought. I know that there are so many people right with you on that. Wildcard line, Jason on Coast to Coast AM. Jason,
yeah.
where are you gonna take us?
Well, I just had a quick comment. I've researched revelations in the Nag Hammadi, and I found an interesting line about the sacred fire of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Essentially, what seemed to construe itself was that the wrath of God, that the heaven and the brimstone and purging of evil are actually the same fire of Holy Spirit. If you have compassion in your heart, then the chrism is Holy Spirit fire is a good thing, and if you have hatred in your heart, it's a bad thing.
Okay, I'll accept that. Right. There you go. Works for me. Thank you. Interesting thought. Wild card line, and it's Kaylani on Coast to Coast AM. Kaylani?
Hi.
Where are you going to take us?
I just wanted to talk about, I guess, like, child safety. I guess back in the days, it wasn't as bad as it is now.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I feel that a lot of people have taken stories and just, like, the lady who killed her 5 children. And got off in a mental hospital, you know?
Well, she was originally convicted, and then on a review, they actually found that somebody who had testified against her had falsified the evidence for his testimony.
I know,
so,
and that doesn't justify her killing her 5 children.
No, you know? It doesn't at all. But, I mean, it also, it isn't quite as easy as she killed 5 kids and then she got off. She didn't get off, really. I mean,
she's in a mental hospital.
Yeah.
But, like, in this area alone, a lot of child molestation, and in cases that nothing's being happened about, you know, like there was this Boy Scout leader here in this area who molested over 32 children, and there were reports on all of it, but because he was a part of a religious organization, all, you know, it took them about 10 years to finally catch on and put him in prison.
But there's that's exactly my point. And stop right there. And I just want to say that's exactly my point, though, is that the child molesters, never before have we known more about child molesters in our society. You've never, you in 1977, you couldn't have clicked onto the web and found out how many child molesters were in your neighborhood. There was no government agency to call. There was no 1-800 number you could ask and say, are there any child molesters in my neighborhood? Child molesters moved around with impunity, right? They didn't worry about anything, and now they do. Now we do have a way of tracking convicted child molesters. On top of that, we have much greater awareness about the effects of child molestation. So we're catching people earlier in their serial molestations. We're catching them before they can have as many. Even religious organizations aren't able to protect child molesters as a result of all of the horrible stuff they got away with in the 60s and the 70s and even into the 80s. Now child molesters are being subject to being outed by their own religious organizations. And so that's why I say we are actually safer now than we ever have been before. We're never going to be 100%, but we are safer now. A kid is safer now than a kid was in 1975.
To an extent, I guess. And just like off the wall comment, JC, I believe, is Mormon.
Oh, really? Well, he is.
I just want him to hear that because I know he's listening.
Did you say Mormon or do you say Mormon or moron? Okay, I was just checking.
Well, both, but Mormon. Okay. Right. He must be like a reincarnated Joseph Smith.
All right. I'm sure he's still listening. And thank you, Kaylani. I don't mean to in any way say that Mormons are that either, but it's funny that JC called, and it's my first chance to talk to him. Wildcard line, Matt is hanging on, coast to coast AM. Matt, we're wrapping things up. Where are you going to take us?
Well, I've got a good ghost story for you.
Okay.
This happened when I was a teenager in Southwest Ohio. I won't mention the name of the town, but me and this young lady were feeling kind of amorous. We decided to go to this abandoned house, which was notorious for teens who felt that way. And
okay.
We walked into the house, and she went ahead and went upstairs, you know, to the room, as we called it. And there was a noise or something. I had the flashlight with me, and I turned the flashlight, you know, to see what it was. And when I turned back, you know, I looked up the top of the stairs. There was this big orange glow. And she came running down the stairs. I think she may have hit two stairs on the way down, two steps.
Could that have been just the projection of her father's anger?
I have no idea what it was. But now, you get to bear in mind, I'm 6 foot and at the time 220 pounds. She's like 5 foot nothing, 98 pounds, dripping wet. She grabbed my hand and literally drugged me out of that house and refused to ever go back.
Well, and that's probably better for both of you that you never went back there for all sorts of reasons. We'll leave it there and say thanks, everybody, for calling. And thank you, Dan, and for Curis, and for Gina, and for Lisa, and Stephanie, and everybody else involved in the production of Coast to Coast AM. And thank you, George, too, for taking the night off and giving me the opportunity. And for Art, who will be on tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM, and be watching, be listening, more on the line at coasttocoastam.com on the Necronomicon, the early show tomorrow night, Coast to Coast Live. Take a look at it on Streamlink. In the meantime, Deus Tiamat, and I do too.